Contrary to claims of the Liberal Party, what assessment of the economy has the Reserve Bank of Australia made?
Well, the RBA, which of course is predominantly focused on macroeconomics, has observed in its recent monetary policy statement that the economy has slowed somewhat, and as a result, it's revised its expectations for growth down compared to what they were in the previous monetary policy statement. And that reflects a set of data, primarily lower prices than had been anticipated. So the measures of inflation are coming in a little weak currently, and also some signs of at least forward-looking weakness in the labour market as well. So, for example, job ads, inflation expectations, and hiring intentions are all somewhat lower than had been anticipated. As a result of that kind of flow of data, the RBA has formed the view that the economy is going to track with somewhat lower growth than it had previously thought.
Well, if the economy is going to have lower growth than previously thought, how has the coalition managed to get away with this political spin that they've been delivering?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's really important to recognise that the coalition doesn't control macro policy, or at least certainly not by itself. So the RBA actually controls one of the major levers driving short-term growth, which is monetary policy. However, the coalition historically has wanted to paint itself as a party that is more friendly to business and therefore to job creation. And in fact, there has been a strong pace of job creation under the coalition. The real issue is that there's been relatively slow income and wage growth, and arguably the quality of the jobs that have been created as well as the quantity is not as good as it could have been. And so, look, you know, every party tries to put a spin on the record for their own benefit. The coalition's no different.
Mm. Well, what sectors of the economy are actually shrinking?
So what's happened over time, and I think it's really important to recognise that we've gone through one of the biggest mining price and then investment and now production booms in our history, and that's strongly shaped the economy. As investment in particular has dropped off, that was a huge reduction in demand for local activity, and that's been picked up, at least until recently, by housing construction, which rose from about 4% to about 6% of GDP. And that, of course, is now tapering off, associated with the very large falls in house prices, at least in Sydney and in Melbourne. So there's these kind of zigzags associated with, you could call it, the mining boom and the house cycle. And then those are laid over the top of this long-term structural change, which Australia has shared with much of the rest of the rich world, away from manufacturers and towards services. And so the sectors that have been growing really strongly are things like health and community services, and the sector that's been relatively weak, at least until the last couple of years, has been manufacturing, although that hasn't done too badly over the last couple of years. So overall, there are these long-term trends towards services, in particular towards the sectors that I mentioned, which typically generate part-time or casual roles, and away from some of the more, if you like, hard economy or physical part of the economy, which tended to generate full-time jobs. So there has been a bit of a shift towards part-time and casual, and that's why you see, or one of the reasons why you see, more people saying that they'd like more hours and more people working multiple jobs.
Well, the election's just around the corner. Are we expecting any of this to change?
Yeah, so if you look ahead, I think now the sort of the view among the financial economists would be that there really are some quite unpleasant-looking near-term signs in the economy. You know, as I mentioned earlier, around labour markets, prices are very weak, expectations of inflation relatively weak. So I think, there is quite significant near-term downside risk for the macroeconomy. And so whoever's in power will be well-placed if the combination of government and Reserve Bank are prepared to change macro settings to support near-term growth. And of course, there's this longer-term growth agenda, which is all around education and infrastructure and productivity and managing climate transition and so forth. And, you know, the two parties have got quite different views about how to handle those things.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see, you know, where the economy goes from here just after the election this weekend. Very interesting times ahead for us, I think. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, and vote wisely.
Thank you very much. I certainly will.